read verses 13 and 14 this morning. Let us pray together. Father, nothing but the blood is only a fitting hymn of praise because of what we read in your word. And the shedding of the blood of your Son on our behalf as an atonement to make propitiation for our sins. And Father, we have come to know that He is the only way, He who is the way, the truth, and the life. And now we ask that this precious word, your word given to us, would be proclaimed in power by your Spirit, be received in our hearts. Lord, we pray for those who are entering through the wide gate and walking the broad way that leads to destruction. That is, they don't know you. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ. And our prayer for them this morning is that they would hear the urgency and they'd cease fooling themselves. Oh God, please let your word go forth with power. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, 13 through 14. The Sermon on the Mount is drawing to a conclusion. And Jesus is pressing the disciples to understand what it means now to follow Him. And that there's a call to follow Him. And so on through the rest of the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 7, you have two binary choices set before people. There's two of this and there's two of that. And you make and you want to be the right one of the two. This is God's word. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. And that is the word of the Lord. The presentation by the artist was amazing as they got their students followed along. Some of the students saw their lives about to change. They were given a material list, an easel, canvas, palette, oil paints, brushes, to set about their way to become artists who would paint such masterpieces that everyone would want them in their own homes. Their teacher herself was a master artist. Her work in high, high demand. And now those who sat through the classes where everything seemed easy and all they had to do was brush it on the canvas and put it out for sale and people would buy it. But there's a reason people use the phrase starving artist. The reward of creativity, translating what's in the mind's eye, the beauty one sees there, and translating it onto canvas, is not something that necessarily brings wealth and ease and popularity and comfort. Oftentimes it's hard. Oftentimes people don't realize the beauty of what is composed and put onto that canvas. And life is hard. Unless one with that particular gift, artistic ability, chooses to turn away from the beauty set in the mind's eye and to put onto the canvas something that can be simply mass-produced, something that is pop, something that doesn't require someone to have an eye for beauty. Something that doesn't require anyone to have taste. Something that doesn't require people to appreciate what you poured out onto the canvas. And that's sold all the time. You can find those things everywhere. But an artist would be a sellout to give up the beauty that they see in their mind's eye, translated onto canvas in order to simply just mass produce something that doesn't come close. Jesus sat on the hill and taught, a master teacher. He taught those who had gathered around Him what it means to be a disciple, the blessings that come to those who were poor in spirit and meek and gentle, who hungered and thirst for righteousness, who were persecuted for Christ's sake. He taught about how God gets to the heart of things, that it's not one's outward works, but the heart that is displayed in those things that God looks to. They were given a closer understanding of their relationship to God in prayer, that they could come up to Him and pray, "Our Father in heaven." And as with the art students, there were certainly people there who said, "Yes, I can do this. I want to be that." Everything Jesus said, so profound, so rich, so deep, so life-changing. But then there are starving artists. There are those who have gotten a glimpse of the beauty, and yet when confronted with the cost, choose to pump out the pop art. Choose an easier way. And Jesus is addressing them. He's addressing everyone who had sat and gathered around Him. But as a master teacher, He teaches them that the way to eternal life is unpopular, but it still leads to eternal life. The way to eternal life, every one of you ought to know by now. And children, you need to get this. The way to eternal life is not easy. Now, it's in a sense, it's trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by grace. That's easy. But following Jesus through in that life is not. But it's still the way to eternal life. We're going to see three points this morning. Very important to us in any stage of life. First, there are only two alternatives for man. There are only two alternatives for man. Our brother read Deuteronomy 30. As the people of Israel had to be reminded, they're going in. Things have been hard and things are going to be hard. They have yet to take the promised land. They had yet to live in the midst of surrounding enemies and empires that would rise and fall all around them. Choose life. It's life or death. Good or evil. God has set before them two things, not three, four, five, not a buffet of different choices. Life or death. And either or choices, binary choices, do not satisfy most people. We like to keep our options open, right? We don't like children offered, this is what's for supper. You can have this or you can have that. And what do they say? Well, I can have that. It's Wendy's or it's McDonald's. Well, can we go to Arby's? Arby's isn't on the menu. It's not one of the choices. We like to keep our options open. It's not popular to be brought to these two alternatives because we don't like to make such a final choice. In fact, we would rather hold off to the very, very last minute to make a choice if that choice is a final decision and determination. So, I don't know. It's life or death. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate. He didn't say, think about this for a while. Go home, mull it over. Wait a few years, see how it works out for me. A few years, Jesus would be crucified. Wait a while, see how it works out for my disciples before we make a choice. This is what you know you want to. There is counting the cost, as Jesus would teach. But there are two alternatives. And they are final. Sometimes we don't like the two choices, the either or kind of thing presented to us, because we want to negotiate a more favorable end. Death this way, life this way. What if we got our French fries at McDonald's, but we got the burgers at Wendy's? Because the French fries at McDonald's, they're thin and they're just covered in salt. And you dip that in the ketchup, they're really good. And burgers at Wendy's are much better. Everyone knows that. And negotiate a different outcome, a different path. Let's find a different way. We like to hedge our bets, covering what we think are the possibilities. Israel tried to play the field all the time. There were other gods in the land. And they tried, well, we'll worship God here. Then we'll have our high places here. And we'll play the field. Because we're not going to say yes to God and then have to say no to all these other idols, which will be offensive to all the other nations. What if God isn't the one who delivers rain in the season when our crops need it? Should we not have a backup plan? Elijah said they were walking the line on a fence and they can't stay there. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? Two different opinions. If the Lord is God, follow Him. If Baal, then follow Him. That's your choice. Life or death. And that's the choice every one of us, every one of you, is presented with as the gospel is brought to you. Jesus brings us back in verses 13 and 14 to the two options, the only two options, the narrow gate or the wide gate. And if you're trying to keep your options open, if you're showing, so when my parents, you know, I grew up in the church, but I'm trying to keep my options open. I'm in college now. I'm open-minded to different ways. There are only two ways. There are only two choices. Only two directions you can go. And one brings life, the other brings death. And if you're already not a Christian, if you haven't come to faith in Jesus Christ, you're already on a path. You're already on a path. The path leads to destruction. You say, wait, I haven't decided yet. You have. You haven't entered into the narrow gate, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you haven't gone there. So that means if it's a binary choice, it's one or the other, and if it's not Jesus, it's the other. You may call it what you will. Call it your philosophy. Call it your ethic. Call it your worldview. Whatever it is, if it is not faith in Jesus Christ, it still leads to death. There's a hard thing with binary choices, either or thing. Don't put off the question. Don't seek a third option. You're wasting your time. Don't think that options are going to change. Don't think that there's going to be another way that's going to be presented to you that leads to life. There isn't. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, then it's the other alternative. And it comes with an inescapable consequence. Well, let's look at it. The wide gate to a shocking destination. Now remember, there's only two choices. Jesus only speaks of two gates. You enter by one, or you enter by the other. And there are different consequences, different destinations for both of them. But the wide gate leads to a shocking destination. Now, Jesus is a very... Well, he's a brilliant teacher. He teaches with authority. And he understands something. He understands a lot. But he understands that what he's presented to the people will... You go home after watching a movie, and that movie was say Star Wars, and you go home, and what's every kid doing? They're going voomp, 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 voomp. I want to be voomp, you know, have my lightsaber and all that. And you just feel you're caught up into it. Then you sleep the next morning. It's something else. Jesus understands that the wide gate is a huge, huge temptation. He doesn't just say, follow me. Other places he does. Other places Jesus says, simply follow me. He says that to his disciples by the sea. Follow me and I will make you disciples of men. But here he's very careful to make sure everyone understands. Because he knows everyone sees that wide gate. And everyone sees that broad way. He just wants them to understand its destination. So he's a compassionate teacher. And a brilliant teacher and an authoritative teacher. Enter by the narrow gate. The wide gate is very tempting to those who take a quick and lazy look. And if you're not thinking, right, you just make that turn and you go in that direction. You don't really have to be particularly bright. You just go. You just go with the flow. It's a wide, wide gate. It is wide because there's room. So think about that wide gate. It's a wide gate, and that means there's space. And there's space for everybody. There's room for you in the wide gate. Well, room for whom? Let's look at the different groups of people who can enter there. Because it's nice and it's wide. And it's open to all those who are thinking of all those different alternatives. All those alternatives that you may be thinking about right now, alternatives to Jesus Christ, there's room for you in this wide gate. There's the alternative of embracing more than one truth. If that's your alternative, there's room for you in that wide gate. You just go right along. You can fit there. You fit in well with everyone else going into that gate. You say, yeah, but I think this and they think that. Oh, that's okay. The gate is wide. You fit in there. You can make it through that gate with all your different understandings of truth. You might say, I'm a Christian by profession, but a Unitarian by faith. There's room for you there. Not in the narrow gate. There's no room for you there. But there's room in the wide gate. You can take your self-satisfaction that you are a religious person and you can go right through there and nothing will hinder you. And nothing will say, stop, think about it for a moment. You could just go in that wide gate. It's wide. So right now, if that's what you're thinking, you fit there. The alternative of rationalism. That is, you're keeping your options open until someone proves to you, to the satisfaction of your so-called intellect, that to your satisfaction that God is real and that Jesus Christ died for your sins. So you're sitting back in your smug agnosticism. There's room for you there in the wide gate. You can go there. And yeah, I know there's some other religious people who think different things, and you're an agnostic, but you can get along very well with them. Because they have your way, you have your way, but you all fit into that same wide gate. Now, those of you who are just think there's no need to make any choice at all, you say, well, I don't need to bother. This is a waste of time. Narrow gates, wide gates, yeah, it makes no difference at all. I choose just not to choose. I choose to just live my life the best I can in this world, and whatever happens at the end, happens at the end. And you know what? There's room for you in that wide gate. You can just go right along, and no one's gonna trouble you about it. There's enough room not to care. And no one will care that you don't care when you pass through the wide gate. That's a broad way, Jesus says. The ESV uses easy, and it's more of a interpretive word than a direct translation. But if you have a different Bible than the ESV, it probably says narrow. I mean, rather broad. There's a broad way. The path to the destination that to which you are heading is not going to cost you. You won't lose your job on the broad way. You won't be deserted by family members on the Broadway. Everyone's kind of in it together. It won't cost you your sinful habits. On the Broadway, there's no one to tell you no. Stop. Don't do that. It's a Broadway. And those who enter by it are many. You have a lot of company on the Broadway. It's a lot of space. It's easy. You can walk through and not have the pains and pricks of conscience. Not have the work of sanctification. Not be bothered with a duty to God, your Creator. The wide gate, there's room. And so many people choose it. Because there's plenty of space. And you don't have to deny yourself. And you do not have to rely fully upon a Savior. You can take all your good works, pack them up in your bag, and travel. But the destination is destruction. Tempting, isn't it? No one bothering you? Some people think that. Say, when I get out of house, when I go off, when I move out of the house, is no one going to tell me what I have to do? Is this going to be a Broadway? Is this going to be, I can do whatever I want? But then, you know, the Lord reminds you of all the things your parents taught you, and you begin to prefer the narrow. When all is said and done, it is the destination that is most important, not the journey, despite what you might find on bumper stickers and on Facebook feeds. It's not all about the journey. Journey's important. It's about the destination. If the journey is what's most important, take the wide gate. Take the wide gate. Because you just do whatever you want. Because nothing matters. You're in all this fabulous company if the destination does not matter. If there's neither heaven nor hell, if there's just an end, do not pick the narrow gate. But Jesus says there is a destination. And the destination is what is important. And it is destruction. The wide gate opens up to a broad way that leads to death. Now, Jesus does not mean annihilation. Destruction does not mean annihilation. We were up in Mackinac City. We went to visit the fort there. It's almost right under the bridge. And they're still, the archaeologists are there. I mean, it wasn't that long ago as history goes, but they're still digging up things from the old fort that was there. I think there was two. And then they get down, and they get down. The more they see, the more they go. Ancient Greece has not ceased to exist. They're still digging up stuff. They find walls, Egypt, all those things. There's still stuff. But you know what they find that exists? Ruin. Athens is still there, buried under Athens, but it's ruin. It's there. You still find shards and bones and tools and implements. You find stuff that is in a state of ruin. That's destruction. It's not that you cease to exist. That you live eternally with the symbols and emblems of your destruction and ruin. And that's where the wide gate and the broad way leads to. Not annihilation. Not that you cease to exist. But that you live eternally in a state of ruin. It's death. It's not party time. Everything that surrounds you will remind you of your sin and your wretchedness and of God's wrath. There's a kind of ruin that will make you forget all the heyday of the Broadway. All the things you thought made you happy. All the good that you thought were done. The because you're just a pile of rubble and brokenness and decay. But it never dies, because the worm does not die and the fire is never quenched. It's a broad gate. It's a wide gate. It's a broad way. You can take anything you want in there, and you take it with you, but you take it to your destruction. Isn't Jesus good that He would warn those people that you can go that direction, and you may love the journey, but you will not like the destination? There is a way that seems right to a man, but it only leads to death, the wise man said. The narrow gate to a rewarding destination. Okay, now Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. He has warned us about the destruction for those who go the wide and broad way, that it is tempting, right? The narrow gate seems so foreboding. It's like that door when you bought that oversized stuffed sofa. And you say, oh, this is going to look great in my apartment. And then you get it there and you look at your door, your 32 inches of space there, and you look at the sofa and you go, it's not going to fit. It's not going to make it in. The gate is narrow. The door is narrow. Now, does that mean you can't walk through that gate? Does Jesus say that the gate is narrow? It means no one can fit? It means not everything can fit. Not everything goes through there. It is narrow, but it is not closed. When Jesus says the gate is narrow, He doesn't say it is closed. He just says it's narrow. You can't take with you all those alternatives. You cannot be like the rich young ruler with whom Jesus talked. And Jesus said, if you want to follow me, give away all your possessions and come follow me. But he had an alternative in his mind. He wanted to keep his riches, kind of a, you know, to hedge his bet. You know, I'm willing to follow Jesus, but my wealth, I mean, if I follow Jesus, if that doesn't pan out for me, I always have my wealth. Is there anything in your life that you think, well, if Jesus doesn't pan out for me, at least I have? It doesn't fit through the narrow gate. Every alternative to faith in Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, died for sinners, rose on the third day, ascended to heaven, seated at the right hand of the... Any alternative to Jesus Christ doesn't fit the narrow way. It doesn't. It's excluded. You cannot bring your agnosticism with you. You cannot bring your careless indifference with you. Brothers and sisters, disciples, if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not carry careless indifference to your faith in Him. If you have careless indifference to the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to examine yourself whether you're actually in the broad, wide gate and broad way. Careless indifference doesn't come along. The world's religions, they don't make it through. Man's philosophies, they don't make it through. Man's self-exaltation, it doesn't get through the gate. And you think, well, what's the point? The point is the end, isn't it? The point is the destination. The way is hard or narrow. It's constricting, as the word may be translated. And it relates to the idea of being pressed in upon or compressed. Just as the gate is narrow, the way scrapes and presses in. You're being transformed, not conformed. The way of a disciple is one in where your sins are being stripped of you. Everything that is wicked and woeful is being torn from you through sanctification by the Holy Spirit. You're putting to death the deeds of the flesh by the Spirit. It's a hard way. And it's a hard way also because no one else, those who have gone on the broad way that you can see right alongside, goes through a different destination, but there's the broad way, that they're not being torn apart and having their sins stripped from them. They're not dying to self as part of living unto righteousness. They're not suffering the loss of family and friends, perhaps even work. They're not suffering persecution like a disciple of Jesus Christ does. How hard is it for you that the Lord continues to rip out your sins? Jesus saying, it's, as a disciple, you go through things in this world that those who enter by the wide gate do not. And if there is no destination of eternal life, you might as well just go the broad way. But Jesus says there's a destination. Journey is important. There is joy in our journey, for sure. Even with all the constricting, even with all the sanctification, even with all the sin being rooted out of us, even in our transformation as we become something different, something new as new creations. There was a joy in it. There is pressure that is put on by the world against the Christian. A wide open world of ideas and desires offers you all the ease you can ever want. And Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. Because the destination is life. If you can see the journey and the difficulties it brings as you are led on and on, you must open your eyes to the destination. And He says, it is life, and few there are who find it. It's life. We've talked about life. Remember, life is more. Did a whole sermon on that life is more thing. Jesus says, life is more than bread, and the body more than clothing. Just understand, in your suffering in this world even, there is more to life than just those things that you lose. That the kingdom life is great and vast. And it cannot be measured by the things we suffer or have to endure. It can only be measured by the glory and the grandeur of the destination. And that destination is life, not ruin. It's a celestial city. To borrow Pilgrim Progress. It's a land flowing with milk and honey as a destination. Life is more, and you get that through the narrow gate. You get that through faith in Jesus Christ. You get that when you walk on the narrow way. For sure, you will not always feel that life. You don't always feel alive. We don't always feel the joy and the thrill of the Christian life. But its life and its destination is still eternal life. Because every Christian goes and we struggle. We struggle with hardship. We struggle with the difficulty. Jesus said it's hard. But you'll never be without that feeling, that sense of being wonderfully and satisfyingly alive when you keep your eye on the destination. The artist, the master teacher, had a vision, a true vision of beauty that he tried to instill into their students. To see something rich, something worth being a starving artist, something worth the pain and the struggle of getting out on canvas and working at it and working at it and working at it. Jesus has planted a vision and is preaching to the disciples. It is a vision of an eternal life, of a glorious kingdom, of reigning together with Him. He who is the way, the truth, and the life said, "Follow me." You believe in Him, and that destination is yours by grace. Do you have that vision? Do you have that sense of eternal life? It's hard for us even now. In fact, Paul says the mind can conceive of it. But has not Jesus Christ planted in you as His disciple a love for that beauty so that you are willing to be a starving artist? You're willing to be a disciple who goes through hardships, through the narrow gate, through the narrow way, the hard way. Hasn't He planted in that your heart? Don't you have a sense of wonder at where you are going and where life leads? If you don't, how hard your life must be. If you haven't thought hard and well over the destination, that life that Jesus offers, then you're missing out on even the joys of a hard life. Jesus commands you, enter by the narrow gate. Because what you find in the narrow gate is more than what you would ever give up, that you think, all the things you thought you could take through if you went by the wide gate. When you enter by the narrow gate that leads to everything His shed blood purchased for you, that's what's beyond the narrow gate. That's what's on the path with you, is every blood-bought blessing. Every strength, every hope, every confirmation, every encouragement that leads to life. There are only two. There are only two gates. Enter by the narrow gate.